Well, good evening. How are we doing this evening? If you were here last week, you were really benefited by the way Justin LeBlanc gave us a 40,000-foot high flyover of the entire book of Deuteronomy. And he said that Deuteronomy, translated, means second law. And I think more accurately, though, it's the second giving of the same law. And what we are going to look at tonight is chapters 1 through chapter 4, verse 43. This section is very often referred to as Moses' first speech or first sermon. Now, the children of Israel, the next generation, is now where the previous generation was about 40 years prior. They are getting ready to go into the promised land. And now Moses is delivering these sermons, these messages to the children of Israel. And he's going to be reminding them of what happened 40 years prior. So in this section, I found some great quotes by Charles Spurgeon, where he said, "Some believers might have dwelt long enough, but need to move on," which is Psalm 37:23, "Steps of a righteous man are ordained by God." Then he said, "Some believers have lived long enough at Sinai under the law when they need to move on to Calvary." Galatians 5:18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law." And then he said, "Some believers live long enough at the mount of little faith when they should move on to greater faith." 2 Corinthians, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." "Some believers have long enough at the mount of endless questioning when they should find rest in the simplicity of Christ. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God and he will give it to you without finding fault." So before we actually move into chapter 1, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for Deuteronomy. We thank you because we know that this was one of the favorite books of the Old Testament that Jesus often quoted. Father, we just pray that you will bring conviction to our hearts, repentance where necessary, because we are seeing what Moses said to the Israelites, but it even applies to us today. So be with us now, guide us for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. So chapter 1 starts out, and it is Moses remembers the journey of Israel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. So that's the overarching title of the first chapter. But I also like to call the first chapter a lesson in cause and effect, something that most of our society today has lost the principle of. You do this, this is going to happen. You do this is going to happen. So what we are looking at here, the first prayer, that's our first prayer point, and I'll reiterate these later. 1 John 5:3, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." So Moses is now reminding the younger generation how he appointed wise leaders of each tribe to be judges. And it was because they were wearing him out. He said, "I alone am not able to bear you." Think back, all the Israelites were doing is complaining. Ever since they left Egypt, they were complaining. Complain, complain, complain. So he said, "I alone am not able to bear with you." And then he's saying, "Choose wise and understanding and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you." Then he switches a little bit, and here's where we get into the cause and effect. We see that Moses is telling them, I remember when we were here, and I was pleading with you to go into the promised land. And so many of the leaders, tribal leaders, would say, no, we need to send spies in to see what is there. I don't understand why. God said, the Lord said, go, I will be with you. Then Moses agreed, and he said, okay, choose one from each tribe. So now we have 12 men show up, and they go in, and they spend 40 days in the promised land. And they come back, and to a man, every one of them said the same thing. It is just as God said. It is wonderful. Oh, the crops are beautiful. Grazing for our cattle and our sheep, our flocks. Water. The cities are wonderful, but the people are big. So now we don't think we should go in. So now Moses is pleading with them, and he said, no, you got to go in. No. 10 of them came back with that. 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, were saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Lord said, it's ours. Let's go get it. So then they said, no, because they are big, they will destroy us, and they will take our children. Well, that's all I read into. That's all the Lord had to hear. Now you're hiding behind your children. Okay, so just for that, no one over the age of 20 is going to enter the promised land. He said, I remember this. Do you remember? Some of you that are just about old enough, do you remember when that happened? Then, now the people back then said, you know what, we repent. We've offended God, so we're going to prove our worth to him, and we're going to go in and we're going to fight the battle. After God said, no, don't go in, I'm not with you, I'm not going to lead you into this. Okay, they went anyway and were routed. So at that point, that's where the first chapter is winds down. And we move into chapter 2, where Moses remembers the wilderness years and the march to Canaan. Or, as Justin pointed out last week, an 11-day trek turned into 40 years. And our second prayer point would be, God is faithful even when we are not. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the faith we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So Moses remembered the journey through the land of Edom. He said, remember that? We went through there, and the Lord said, this is not your land. I don't want you to go here. Okay, you do not contend with them. You do not fight them. Okay, this is the land that I gave a distant relative of yours, Esau. If you think back 400 and some odd years, okay, Esau was the brother of one of their patriarchs, one of their favorite guys, Jacob. But God said, you know what? To Esau, I'm going to give you this land, and it's going to be yours. Now he's telling the Israelites, that's not yours, that's Esau. Then he remembers the journey through Moab, the Moabites. They were distant relatives of the Israelites. Do you know who was the leader of the Moabites in that land? It was Lot. And Lot was the nephew of one of their greatest patriarchs, Abraham. And you see now, here's where Lot went wrong way back then. Remember, Abraham and Lot were talking. And they were saying to each other, the land isn't big enough for the two of us. We have too many animals. We have too many people. The land can't sustain us. So Abraham says to Lot, choose. You go here, I'll go here. You go here, I'll go here. And what did Lot do? He took the best section of land. When he should have, you know what, Abraham, you're my elder. Okay, you choose. But he didn't. So now, but God is saying, that's okay. What you need to do is you need to leave them alone. As you pass through, you go around them, you don't fight with them. Moses remembers the nation of Israel that encountered nations that Israel encountered on their way. So they were going through the land of the Ammonites. And he said, I will not give this land to you. Leave them alone. Don't fight with them. Now, the Ammonites were just pagans. They were just a whole different nation. So what we're seeing here in that God is faithful, even when we're not. Okay, Esau was not faithful, but God was. Lot was not faithful, but God was. The Ammonites didn't even know who God was, and God was faithful to them. Fast forward to today, God is faithful even to the non-believers. They call it common grace. God said, I will cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So God is faithful even when we're not. Then Moses remembers the conquest of Sihon, king of the Amorites. Sihon would not allow the Israelites to pass through. Remember, they just said, we just want to walk through. We're not going to leave the road. We're just going to walk through. We're not going to bother you. No, you can't. So God said, Abraham says that God hardened his heart just like he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And he ordered Israel to attack, and Israel vanquished them. So even in their unbelief or their disobedience, God was faithful to Israel. And for 40 years, Israel didn't just wander around the wilderness. God led them. Remember the pillar of fire, cloud of smoke. Okay, when it moved, so God was contending with, protecting Israel, moving them around so they would not come in contact with other countries, other nations, and would not fall into their false idolatry, their false gods. And that. So he was protecting. He was faithful even when Israel was not faithful. Then we move into Deuteronomy 3, where Moses remembers the march to Canaan and the appointment of Joshua. Prayer point number 3, that God leads to great accomplishments, but he also leads to humility. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, he who began a good work in you shall complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. So God commanded Israel to attack Bashan. Israel drew closer to the promised land, and they were coming towards the Jordan River, and they passed through the land of where Og was the king. And he commanded that they go to war. Even though Og was a huge guy, some estimates were he was over 10 feet tall. But God prevailed on their account, and he commanded Moses to take, despite its size, in Deuteronomy 3:11, God would give Israel the same victory that he gave them against the Amorites. So Israel defeats Bashan. Then Moses remembers the tribes that he that settled on the east side of the Jordan. So there were three tribes that stayed on the east side of the Jordan: Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Okay, this was to set up a little bit of a buffer zone, but we will see later on where God is setting these cities up as havens. If, by way of example, if an Israelite killed his neighbor but didn't mean it, it was unintentional, and it said did not have prior hate in his heart, they could go to flee to one of these cities, and they would be safe there until the trial. They wouldn't just be executed on the spot. So now we see Moses remembers the appointment of Joshua. Moses pled with God, please let me walk into the promised land. And God rebuffs Moses and said, no, you can't do it. In fact, this is what I want you to do. I want you to instruct Joshua, I want you to encourage Joshua to be the new leader. Now, you want to talk about humility. God says, you can't go in. You did all of these wonderful things, but you can't go in. Joshua is going to lead the Israelites. And in chapter 4 is called the call to obedience. Moses challenges Israel to learn from the example of their parents. Now, as Israel was being ready to enter the promised land, Moses is reminding them of the many rebellions in their past history. It's like the old adage. He says, remember these things. It's like the old adage. Those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. So he's saying, take heed. This is what I want you to remember. This is what your fathers, grandfathers did. And there we go back to the cause and effect. They wandered, or they were in 40 years until the last one of them died. They did not see the promised land. There's the cause. Here's the effect. So anyway, you shall not, then he says to the Israelites, you shall not add one word or take one word away from the words that I am giving you. Fast forward that to today, what we see is many denominations are adding words. They think that God didn't go far enough, he didn't mean it enough. So what they're saying is we have to come up with, you know, some traditions, you know, some legalisms, some rituals. On the other hand, you have taken words away from what God says, and that's where we come up with the easy believism. Oh, I've actually talked to people that have visited here. I just want to feel good when I leave here. I wish they would stop talking about sin. Well, and repentance. Take note of that, Jack. So that's what we see here. We can't add to, we can't take away. Because Jesus said in Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will endure forever. So we go back to that cause and effect even today. We have either blessings or curses, or we wind up losing. We don't lose our salvation, we understand that. But there will come a time, the way my mind works is I will be standing before the Lord at the Bema seat, not the judgment seat, the Bema seat, and we're talking about this. I don't know how this is the way my mind processes. You know what, Jesus, I did this, and he goes, whoa, not in my name. You did not do that in my name. Okay. So we're not going to lose our salvation, but we will lose rewards. Israel's experience at Sinai was a warning against idolatry or idol worship. Remember, they made, Aaron said, well, we just threw some gold in the fire and a calf came out. And what do we idolize today? That was the warning to the Israelites. Don't idolize, don't mix in with the rest of the world. Moses challenged the Israelites to learn by his own example of failure. Remember, Moses was leading, and I referred to it a little earlier, where they're going through the wilderness, then the people are just complaining, and they say, Moses, we're dying of thirst. Give us some water. So now the Lord says to Moses, speak to the rock. And he looks at these people, and he's so frustrated with these people, he takes a stick and he whacks the rock, like he's going to beat the water out of the rock. Why? Maybe. How many times have we been annoyed by somebody else, and we take it out on God? Then what we see here, the final reason for serving God. Moses asked Israel, is there any other nation that God treated the same as he treated us, as he treats us? And we can ask that question of ourselves today. Is there any other religion that God treats the same way as he treats his believing church? And the answer is, can't be. The biggest difference is we have the Holy Spirit and the assurance of salvation. You know, Jesus said in John's gospel, I go away, I will send you the Comforter, and he will guide you into all truth. What a wonderful way to be treated. The creator of the universe takes up residence within us. So that's bringing us to the end, going over to prayer points. The first one is cause and effect. We should be praying, Father, help us to understand if we do certain things, there will be consequences. Guide us. Please guide us. Prayer point number two, God is faithful even when we are not faithful. We should be thanking God for his faithfulness even when I fall apart miserably. Prayer point number three, God leads us to accomplish greatly, but also leads us to humility. We should be humble. I served with a gentleman many years ago, and he had a great saying. He said, when we do things in the name of the Lord, we accomplish great things, but he does all the work, and we get the credit. We get the crown that one day we will lay at Jesus' feet. And the final prayer point, call to obedience. Father, just help us. May we lean on you to be obedient to your word. Father, we just thank you for this time. Pray that it's been edifying. And we just pray that you will guide us as we pray to you on these points. We just want to do everything we can to bring honor and glory to you in all things. Pray these things in Jesus' name.